today's message really is for those of you who call Clarity Church home. Is there any people who are like that here today? Anybody love their church? Yeah. Well, hey, I'm glad to be here. And what I want to do, just to start off, before we even do the Jesus part and the Bible stuff, and so, like I said last week, if you always have your defenses whenever a pastor guts up and preach, you can put them down. There's not going to be no Bible verses. You don't have to take notes. And in fact, I forgot to print the notes, so you can't even take notes with us. And so, but you can see it on the screen. But just for a second, just because we've been around for about a little over 6 months now, if you didn't realize this, and I was just thinking about what God has done and the journey that he's taken us with Clarity Church. And some people haven't heard this story, so I want to kind of share it. So what I want to do is just, before we go into the message, I think it's just really important to share with you how Clarity Church began. You see, what happened was I was serving. I've been in full-time ministry a little over 10 years now. And before starting this church, I was up at Maple Grove Free Church, up in Maple Grove, and serving an awesome, wonderful, great church, great facilities, great people, huge staff, great payroll. I was making good money. Not that that's important because, it's about God. But on the side note, I was able to provide for my family. It was really good time. But then God started doing something in my heart, and I began reading about how churches that are new were connecting with people who didn't necessarily like church. And I thought that was kind of strange, because that's like starting a coffee shop for people who don't like coffee. Like, wait, there's actually a way to get people who are disconnected from God to go to church. Yeah, and there's this thing called church planting. And what we found is that starting new churches is what helps engage people who are disconnected from God. And so I toyed with this idea, and so about a year ago, actually, to this date, I was 1 month away from leaving Maple Grove Free Church, and I started officially in May, going out, casting some vision. And some of you, as I look out here, were part of our launch team. Some of you remember me coming up to you and asking for a cup of coffee and say, "Hey, look, there's this church. It's going to be really awesome. It's going to be in Plymouth, and you're going to be a part of it, and you're going to help us start it." And they said, "What? We don't need another church." I said, "I know, we don't need another church. We need a new church." And because there are people in our community who need to hear about Christ. And so we met together over summer, and we just believed that God would do something with people who said, "You know what, it is worth it. It is worth it to leave the churches we're at, because they're fine, they got their money, they're doing great, and they're building disciples and they're making disciples. But there's this group of people that no one is reaching, and there's a group of people who maybe even like God, but are maybe disenfranchised from church, and they're looking for a place where they can grow in faith, and they can ask the questions, and they can ask the questions and bring their doubts, but yet fall forward, even if it's messy, towards Jesus." And we said, "We want to be that place. We want to be that place in our community." And so we started Clarity Church. Our first service was September 29th. We didn't know. People always ask me, "Hey, Phil, how many people are you going to have at your first service?" It's like, I don't know. Maybe we got 50 people on our launch team. I hope we have 50 people at our first service. And so if you were here, you remember, we had standing room only. This place only has 250 chairs. And so that first Sunday was absolutely, everybody came out. She's my mom, technically, mother-in-law. So I like her. That's why I call her mom. I don't call her mother-in-law. She's nice. So they came out from Indiana. I mean, everybody and their brother came out and saw, and then plus people in the community came. And some of you might even remember that Sunday. And we launched. And since that day, we've been here, annoying the daylights out of the custodial staff. No, they think we're great. But we've been here. We've been meeting together. And since then, 6 months, 17 people came to faith in Christ for the first time. We've had many other people who didn't check the box because it said for the first time. And when I was 6 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. But, I really want to check the box again. I was like, it's cool. And so we've had many people say, "You know what, look." There's even some people I know who, before being part of Clarity Church, at best, church was a thing that they went to as a guilty thing because, if I don't tell my mom I went to church this month, she's going to, kill me. And so, I got to do it for mom. And so, and they've been coming every week since, and they've been invested, and they say things like, "Phil, I just can't believe, 6 months ago, I wasn't going to church anywhere, And now I can't even imagine being part of a group of people who are doing their best to honestly follow Christ and are willing to come alongside me and help me because they believe it's worth it. And so that's how we started Clarity Church. And so we are here today, 6 months ago from the day we launched, and almost a year from the day from making the work of Clarity Church happen. But a lot of times, sometimes people will ask me, like, Phil, how are things going? How are things going? And I tell them, ministry is absolutely awesome. Blowing off the doors. I've got people, like, saying, and some of you are in here, and I'm going to say this. I know you've contacted me about getting baptized in water. I'm getting there. I know. I'm really excited. We're going to have it happen. We just got to work out some few logistics. But those are great problems. Those are really great problems. And I've been connecting with people through the week and just praying with them and putting resources in the hands to help them succeed at following Jesus. And but every once in a while, I'll get someone who's, you know, very, you know, maybe older and wiser and, you know, ask the right questions. You know, Phil, what's one of your biggest concerns? What's your biggest concern in the life of your church right now? You've been in church for about 6 months. What's your biggest concern? And if I was just to speak honestly about my biggest concern, it actually wouldn't be money. It wouldn't be people. Let's get more people. You know, it wouldn't be any of those things. My biggest concern for us as a church, and unless I'm talking to church people, I'm mostly, if you're visiting for the first time, you can just kind of listen to me, sit on the front row as we do like this little family thing. But if you are, if you call Clarity Church home, my biggest concern is that we would get so comfortable and we would get so complacent about what clarity is that we turn inward instead of keeping our focus outward. You see, my biggest concern is that we would just settle for being average, just like all the other churches. It's not a knock on the average churches. In fact, one of our tagline is that, you know, we're just another light in the city. And all the churches have their place. But for us, what God's calling us to do, we're not better, but we definitely are distinct. And one of the things that started, the heart that started this church is what I hope remains the heart of this church, which is this. My biggest concern is that we would fall into the trap that many, many churches fall into, which is, by the way, a church is just simply a group of people who follow Christ. It's not a building. It's especially us. It's not even ours. You know, this is Kimberly Lane Elementary School. And it's this. The gravitational pull of every local church is towards keeping people instead of reaching people. The gravitational pull of every church is toward keeping people instead of reaching people. And you know this. If you've been around church for a long time, you'll hear people say, oh, where did they go? I don't know. Where did these people go? I don't know. Well, we got to keep them. Are they mad? Oh, she said the music was too loud. Oh, I'm so sorry. We're going to go turn it down. The lights are too dark. Oh, we're going to turn them up. The lights are too much. Oh, we'll turn them up. You know, the carpet's too gray. The carpet's too mauve. The carpet's, you know, like, you know, and we hear this. We joke about it sometimes, you know. Oh, there's pews. Oh, theater seats. I don't never go to a church that has theater seats. You don't even have theater seats. You meet in a gym, you know. And so, you know, and the church, and what, you know, they get so... Typical churches, they get so wrapped up and like, well, we got to have the money so we can pay the bills and get the money. So we got to listen to them because we're interested in keeping them, you know? I mean, if we don't keep them, then how are we going to reach other people? And let's not put the cart before the horse. This church started, I want to let you know, this church started because of a vision that I had in my heart that I casted out to a bunch of people who said, you know, it's worth it to be a church that is not for insiders, but for outsiders. And I hope that we don't exist if we become a church that is just for us. But I do hope that as we strive to be a church that's reaching people who are outside these doors, that God, by his will and by his power, will bless us. And so this is what the average church does. The average church wants to focus inward. Instead of keeping their backs to each other's and eyes and their eyes out in the marketplace where there are people who need to be reached, the average church exists to do... what the relationship with their heavenly father and the obedience toward the mission he gives every person who calls him a follower of Christ is supposed to do, and which is make themselves happy. That's kind of like what we want to do. We make church a place to be happy instead of making what is the church what God intended it to be and what God called it to be. And you're not like that. You're not like the latter. I mean, the former. You're the latter. I mean, this is why we're here. You get it. You want to be better than average. And many of you are here because you know that that's what God's desire for us is. We started our church because we're committed to what Jesus taught about what the church was. And it wasn't all about church people because when Jesus came, there wasn't any church people. There was just people, right? And it was about people created in the image of God who were disconnected from God and were in need of a savior. So consequently, our focus is not on the people who are here, but it's the people who are not here. And one of our values here at Clarity, just if you didn't know, it's on our website, is found in this simple phrase. We are spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. And this is basically what it means. This simply means that in everything, we are more concerned with the people we're trying to reach than the people we're trying to keep. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Because of this, we will not cater to personal preference in our mission to reach our community, our city. And we will do anything, literally anything, short of sin to help reach people who are disconnected from God. And that's why this church is here. Not to entertain you, though I hope you enjoy it. Not to keep you busy, even though I know all of you are, there's a lot of you who are working hard. But we're here for a mission and for a purpose. And this is way too important to play around. It's important because there is so much at stake. I don't know if you know this or not. And I will tell you this. I will do whatever it takes because there's so much at stake. This is not, by the way, a hobby for me. I don't wake up every morning going, oh, I just would really like to, you know, just, you know, play around with maybe pastoring a church and, you know, doing this kind of thing. This is not a hobby for me. And church shouldn't be a hobby for you either. Church shouldn't be a hobby for you either. In fact, one of the things you'll realize when you're older and wiser, and I don't know, but I just hear this from people who are older and wiser. You know, when you're probably 70 years old or 80 years old, and you look back and you, here's what you realize. Second to your family, one of the most important things that you could be engaged in if you are a follower of Christ is being part of the life of a local church that's on mission to reach people who are far from him. It's one of the most meaningful things you could be a part of. If you don't get that, here's what's at stake. Here's why we exist. Take a look at this number. This number, right here. She went to go get some coffee. It's cool. You're good. If anybody wants to get coffee in the middle of my message, it's totally awesome. This number, 71,833. 71,833. 71,833. That's twice the size of the target field capacity. Almost. You know what that number represents? Anybody? Yes. It's the number of people in the Plymouth and Maple Grove area who admit they are not even unchurched, just their non-religious adherents. They don't even believe in Buddha. They don't believe in all any other thing. They don't believe in anything. This is why we're here. This is the number that's on my heart. This is the number that I wake up with. I don't look at the other churches. I don't look at the other churches. I don't look at the other church people. I really don't care about the person I talk to that says they're a Christian. And when I tell them about my church, they're like, oh, well, you know, I really like my church. And I was like, I didn't want you to come to my church. You already love Jesus and you're plugged in somewhere else. Don't go to my church. That's not what I'm concerned about. It's not why we did this. It's not why I ripped my family out of the comforts of what was a church that they loved. I didn't rip it. I didn't rip it. That'd be one thing. But think about it. It's funny. This is a joke. I didn't rip them out. I mean, we all agreed to go. But these are the people who matter to God, don't they? Don't they matter? That's a number. That's a person. Don't they matter to God? And because they matter to God, they matter to us. And listen, don't we just simply want people to know who Jesus is? Don't we just want them to know who he is? And if you've been here for a while, you'll consistently hear me saying this. You'll be here saying something along this line. It's like, we exist so that those disconnected from Christ would come to what? Clarity. On who? Christ. See, you got it. Come to clarity on who Christ is. This is our vision. This is what drives us. This is what we're serious about. This is the solution to the problems that average churches run into. This is why we're not average. We're better than average, to exist so that those disconnected from God would come to clarity in who Christ is. And who's disconnected? Who's disconnected? Well, we believe that there are a lot of people in our community that are disconnected from God and don't go to church anywhere. And so we didn't simply come here to compete with other churches for attenders, people who are already going to heaven. We came here to be salt and light in our community, as we've learned in this past few weeks with the Sermon on the Mount series, so that people would come to choose Christ as their Savior. And we want to lead them to clarity on who Christ is. Because listen, we do all this. We build these environments. We try to make our kids' environments really fun and engaging. We try to do this with the lights and all this kind of stuff. We do all of this simply so hopefully we can help people be environments where they can understand who Christ is. Because listen, this is so much to the core of who we are. And if you're trying to figure out who we are, listen, we believe that if we can help people not argue with them, not make them, not change their moral behaviors before their ethics change, not if we can just help people clearly understand who Jesus is, we actually believe that they will actually, and this is the hopeful heart, that if we are able to clearly present Jesus, we believe he's beautiful. We believe that who he is attractive. We believe that who he is overwhelming. And we believe that if we accurately portray who Christ is, talk about him in ways that are accurate about who he is and his character, and then live in the character of Jesus, people will come to clarity on Christ, and then they will choose Christ on their own. And we don't have to tell them about young earth, old earth, Democrat, Republican, or whatever. And that's why when you look out here, there's so many different kinds of people. I mean, there's good-looking people, there's ugly people, I'm teasing. So, but you know, there's all kinds. Why can we get along? Because we get along around Jesus. Because he's beautiful. And so nobody's perfect, and there's no perfect people allowed. If you are, call me later. I'd like to figure out how that works. So, some of you came for the Bible, and I want to open that up. Turn up your Bibles if you have your Bible, whatever version of the Bible you have, whatever media that is, in your iPhone or your Bible. If you need a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. We're going to be in John chapter 1. And I just want to show you this portion of Scripture that I want to look at because I think it perfectly describes how we are trying to help people find clarity on who Christ is. All right? And so John chapter 1, and if you don't have it, it'll be up here too. So now, before all this, here's what you know. I should set it up, because some of you may or may not know this passage of Scripture. It's really, really cool. So Jesus is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he's kind of walking around, and he's doing the thing that if you grew up in Sunday school, he does this thing, you're like, hey, I've come to make you fishers of men. And he's going around saying, hey, come follow me, and then finally, Jesus runs up to this guy named Philip. What an awesome name. and so runs up to this guy named Philip, and he goes, hey, Philip, come follow me. And Philip's like, wait, Jesus, I will come there, but I gotta go tell my friend. Can I go tell my friend? Can I go invite my friend? And Jesus is like, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm Jesus. So. No, and he's like, yes, go invite your friend. So Philip runs in, and he runs to his friend Nathaniel, and this is where we are in verse 45. And this is what he says in verse 40. Listen to this. Where am I? I gotta get a bigger letters. I'm getting old. There it is. Oh no! Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth? Said Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Before I go to the next verse, I think it's just so cool what Philip does here. So Philip tells his friend, hey, you got to come see this. It's just so cool. There's this guy, his name is Jesus. You just got to meet him. You got to meet him. And he's from Nazareth. And you know, and Phil just said, Phil, he said the wrong thing. And you know, Nathaniel, he doesn't, geez, what? And all he heard was Nazareth. He's like, Nazareth. Well, what good can come from Nazareth? And you know, and Philip, he doesn't really know how to quite answer that. He doesn't really know how to quite answer that question. And some of you are the same way, you know. You know, you go to your friends, hey, yeah, come check this out. You gotta check this church out. And you got to check this church out. And you got to come see. You got to meet Jesus. The church? Don't you guys meet in a school? I mean, isn't that kind of weird? How's that work? I mean, isn't that where, like, pass out earplugs? Like, because it's, like, so loud or something? Or isn't it, like, really dark? I don't know. I had a friend who went there once and said it felt like kind of like a cult, you know, because I don't know. Church, aren't they all the same? Aren't they all the same? And here's what Philip says. Philip, he understands he's not able to answer these questions. He's not able to answer the question about Nazareth, the question about what can good come out of Nazareth. And Philip answers and said, look, Nazareth, can anything good from Nazareth? And what is it? Philip says? He says, look, come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. Does anything good come out of Nazareth? I don't know. I mean, I've never even been there. I can't answer your question. That's a really good question, by the way, Nathaniel. I mean, that's a very valid question. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But look, listen, Nathaniel, just come and see. Just come. You just got to meet him. Just come and see him. Just come and see him. And if we want to be, here's the point. If we want to be better than average, if we, you and I, who are Clarity Church, we want to be better than average, we have to be committed to doing this. We have to be committed to doing this. And this is, what's this? What? One, bring people to the presence of Christ to come and see. Now, we are working really, really hard to create come and see environments, a come and see church. And this may scare some of you, what I'm about to say, and really some of you, it should scare you. I don't know if you know this. I don't know how deep your theology goes. I don't know if you understand this, but if you are a follower of Christ, you collectively, not me, not just you, but us collectively are the body of Christ. I'm not the body. You're not the body. I've got a body, but I'm not the body. But together, somehow, you and me, here, we're the church. And what many of you have discovered, and the reason why many of you are even a follower of Christ, is because somebody said at some time in your life, whether it was in the middle age, young age, or maybe you were just even brought, but someone cared enough and said, hey, come and see. I know you don't like it, but you just got to come and see, because you just got to come and see. If you're my friend, you got to come and see. And I just want to invite you, and some of you, you remember what I was like. You're like, nah, I don't know if I'm going to come and see. I don't even like God. I mean, if he was real, I mean, I don't even know if he exists. I mean, I'm just not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying I don't see him. You know, like, God ain't done anything for me lately. You know, I don't like church. Or last time I went to church, you know, someone was, like, hating on me. Or I used to go to church. I grew up in church. And that's really, like, my sister's thing. Because she's, like, all real spiritual and cool stuff. And, you know, we talk, but, yeah, I don't really go to church. I don't really like it. And, you know, church is all messed up. It's a bunch of, like, legalistic stuff and organizations. And it doesn't even look like Acts 2 church. And the funny thing is people who say that don't even know what Acts 2 church looks like. They just throw that out there, hoping that people get off their back. But, you know, and you're just saying some of that kind of stuff. But somehow, listen, somehow, for many of you, you were able to be convinced to come and see. And you came and you saw, and some of you maybe even come here, and it wasn't what you thought. It wasn't what you thought. And you might even come here and start analyzing stuff like, oh, that's just weird. Like, they're singing, and there's basketball hoops everywhere. Do they know that? Like, I don't even know. Like, and that drum shield looks so dirty. Like, someone gonna clean that? Like, I don't know. I just, right? That's what you did. You know? And is he gonna tell another Asian joke? I haven't told one today. So it's cool. It's cool. But eventually something started happening, didn't it? And it wasn't magic. You know, this ain't McDonald's. I'm not Ronald McDonald. Do you believe in man? No, this ain't that. It's God. It was God's love shown in the expression of the church. It's just what happens when the church is the church. It's not the music. It's not even my teaching. It's just what the church is. And here's what Jesus said. When you are with people collectively, that's as close as people will ever be to being with me. When we do this, this is about one of the closest expressions that people will ever get to personally meeting Jesus, because we are the body of Christ. And we want to be a come and see church. The only way we can continue to be a come and see church is if we have people who are inviting others to come and see and who keep us on track and experience our environments to the eyes and ears of people who are disconnected from God. People who are not church people. People who had bad experiences or gave up on God because of a lifestyle choice, or maybe they were bumped out, or it was something that their mama told them, or something that their parents did. This is what we need. And so here's what I'm going to ask you. If you call Clarity Church home, if you've been here at any length of time, here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to be bold with your invitations. And I want you to go, and I want you to tell. I want you to go and tell. And see, the worst thing that can happen to you is someone, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, someone will look in your face and laugh and be like, church? You know, I mean, that's about the worst that anything can happen. Like, so, and you don't even have friends like that, do you? I mean, like church? No, church, no. You're kidding, man, right? It's April Fool's, isn't it? Oh, man, you're so funny. Right? And some of you don't even have friends like that because we're in Minnesota, you know? Your friends are like, oh, church, I was thinking about that. No, you weren't. Well, I had a friend who talked about it. What? No, you didn't. Okay. So, listen, I need you to be bold with your invitations. Because here's what will happen, and I promise. Here's what will happen. One day, you're going to be bold, and they're going to come. And something is going to happen on the inside of them, and something's going to happen on the inside of you too. And it's not because of really anything that we do or the special lighting or anything like that. It's not really anything like that. It's what I said before. It's what happens when the body of Christ gets together. Something just happens. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to cry and your friend's going to cry. And one day, here's what I hope for you. One day you'll have the privilege, whether it's over here or here, we haven't quite figured out the logistics yet. One day, you'll get the privilege of seeing your friend profess their faith in Christ and be baptized. I want that for you. I don't know if you are a follower of Christ and you've ever seen someone you love who is disconnected from God come to faith in Christ because of your influence in your life. I've had the awesome privilege of having that time numerous times, and I tell you what, it is flooring. And it is amazing for what it's done for my faith in Christ. And I want that for each and every one of you. And don't you want that for your life too? Don't you want that? Don't you want that neighbor? Don't you want that friend? Don't you want that sister? Don't you want that coworker to embrace the same Christ that you love and you adore? Don't you want that? That's what I want for you. And this is how you can be bold. So how is how you do it? One, commit to bring. Commit to bring a friend. Don't just ask, hey, you want to go to church sometime? No. Oh, okay. How about them Vikings? No, that's not asking. Commit to bring. Don't just ask. Have a plan for intentionally doing what it takes to make it as easy as you can for people who are disconnected from God to come to Clarity. Pun intended. So here's what I'm going to do. On each of your seats is a card. Take a card. Take several of them. There's some on your way out. Use it as a way to plan to engage the relationships of your life, to invite them to come out to church. I don't want you to invite your friend who already goes to a church, try to convince them to come here to make our attendance balloon for one Sunday and then go back to normal. I'm asking you to not only just invite for one day, but for the long haul. Invite someone who needs to be at church. You know who I am talking about, who just needs to come and see who Jesus is. And I want you to do that. And so we're launching a series on Easter. It's going to be one of the easiest times to invite someone to Clarity, because, you know, with the last series, it's like, come to church with me. Why? We're going to look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. She wasn't in the mama? I'm not a, what is it? I don't like Jesus in another sermon. You're doing a sermon on a sermon? How does that work? I don't know, but we're doing it for 9 weeks. What? Oh, no, I'm not going to your church. That's terrible. You know, and we're doing a marriage series. Anyone who wants to get married, ever thinking about getting married, who is married, those of you who were married and live through the hell of what it means to go through a bad marriage, you're gonna resonate. It's gonna resonate in everything that you, I mean, we're gonna talk about everything from marriage myths to what men wish women knew, and we'll even talk about sex. Oh my goodness gracious. And so that fifth week, you might want to put your kids in children's ministry. I'm just saying. Or you might want to serve in kids' ministry. I don't know, it might be too uncomfortable. I might serve in kids' ministry and just record it and then like play it, because it might be uncomfortable for me. It's okay though. My wife says I'm over qualified to talk about that subject, so anyways. Here's what I need you to do. Invite people. Be bold. Next thing I need you to do is participate and pray. If you've never served with us before, I want this Easter to be the first time you've served with us. And I want you to get in the game, especially if you know you're not going to be bringing anybody. I want you to get in the game. You are missing out. You are really, really missing out. In fact, many of you missed out this morning I'll just say this now. Maybe you're like, what in the world? So I did like a little Footloose thing this morning. I even had the clothes and everything. So you're just missing out on a whole layer of church that maybe you don't even want to experience. Maybe I just ruined it for everybody. So the next point of my message says, if some of you are professional church attenders, I get it. Some of you are professional church attenders, and you have never, ever, ever, ever been passionate about bringing people with you to come and see. And quite frankly, some of it might be legit. You're just like, I really like my church, but I can't take them to my church because it's kind of bad. It's the only kind of, it's a good church for people who like church, but I don't know about my friends who don't like church. Let me just put it out there and say, if this is you, the reason you have not been a participant in your local church is because you haven't chosen to be a part of making a place that's worth coming and seeing. So if you're not happy, well, be part of it. And be part of what makes this a great place that people are inviting people to be a part of, so they can come and see Jesus. And I want you to participate. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray primarily because of what God does in the alignment of your life with His will when you take the time to communicate with Him, but also because we believe that God is a God who answers prayer. And so when we pray and we ask Him to accomplish His will among us, I believe that those who are disconnected from God will come to clarity on who Christ is by God's grace and by God's power. And listen, we started this church because we are committed to what we believe Jesus taught the church was all about. As I said before, the church wasn't about church people. It's about people. It's about people created in the image of God who are in the need of a Savior. And so consequently, our focus is not the people who are here. It's the people who aren't here yet. That's what it means to be a better than average church. And this is why I need you to bring people. Listen, you got to hear me. It's not because we need more people. We need more people. Listen, this is so important. This is so important because I want to try to make this really, really clear to you. The reason why I need you to be a bringer is because when you sit in one of our environments, one of our gatherings, with someone who usually doesn't go to church. You experience our service in our environments in ways that you would never experience it otherwise. You see, every once in a while I get like emails or people talking to me, and they're good-hearted people, and they'll say things like, you know, why do we only do 3 songs? I love worship. You know, the last church I went to, we did like 4 or 5 songs, and sometimes when the Holy Spirit really moved, we just cut the preacher out, you know, and just say, we'll just worship on, worship on. We should do more music. I mean, our band's really good. The music's really, we should just do more music. We just do more music, right? And you know, I try to tell them, you know, oh, this is, and then here's what happens. Inevitably, what happens is eventually they bring someone who's never been to church before. And so they're standing there in the middle of worship, and the first song goes, and they like it. And they look over at their friend who's like, I don't know what this song is. You know, this is amazing, great. What is that song? I don't know. Never heard it. Is it on the radio? No, never heard this song. And so, like, by the middle of the second song, they're like, okay, 2 songs is enough. 2 songs. All right, let's get that 3rd song. 2 songs is enough. And see, what happens is when you invite, when you become a bringer, you engage in our environments with the mindset of someone who does not go to church regularly. And I need you to be a bringer because I need you to understand that. Because when you understand that, you'll help keep us on mission. You'll help us stay focused on what we are supposed to, what God has called us to, what God called me out of full-time ministry at another church to doing this, and what he called many of you out of. It'll keep us focused on that. And here's, I debated whether or not to say this, but I got some time. And I just want to share a story with you. In this journey of church planting, I talked with literally every single church planter in the whole West Twin Cities, and even church planters who used to be and weren't. And I remember a conversation with one gentleman who planted a church. That church does not exist anymore. And he began to share with me his story, and then he looked me straight in the face. He goes, Phil, he goes, the reason why our church closed its doors, it's not because the word of God wasn't being taught. It wasn't because there wasn't passionate worship. It wasn't because people weren't serving. It wasn't because all the different things. It was because of this. We lost focus. We became a church for insiders. And we stopped remembering why we existed. And so what happens to churches who go in and think it's more about keeping people than reaching people? That's what happened to my church. I don't want that to happen to you. So listen to me, Phil. Do whatever you can to make sure that your church stays focused on reaching people that are disconnected from God. He had a different phrase. I use disconnected from God. And I tell you what, I mean, I remember sitting there with him and just so humbled. I mean, he's not even in ministry anymore. And from what I know, they sort of kind of go to church. They're just that heartbroken. But he understood. Do you love this body? Do you love your church? I need you to be a bringer. I need you to pray. I need you to get in the game. And if we do that, I truly believe there are our best days are yet to come. But if we don't, if we don't close our doors, I will quit. I just got to tell you, because that's not why I believe God called me to plant this church with you. And we have a lot of work to do. Put that number back up there, would you, Lauren? 71,833. 71,833. Those are people who matter to God. And that's not even the number of people who say they're Christians and don't go to church. It's big. And it's only getting bigger. And so, we're working hard to create a come and see church. And just remember, you are as close as anyone is ever going to get to the presence of Jesus. Because you collectively are the body of Christ. I'm not, you're not, but together we are. And the reason many of you are here is because you came and saw, and you found clarity on who Christ was. Let me pray.